Good morning. Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be looking at Yonah Perek Gimel, the third chapter of the Sefer of Yonah. It is a very short perek. It is only 10 psukim long, and this now starts the second prophecy of Yonah. Yonah's first prophecy was he was given a mission to go to the city of Nineveh to give the prophecy. He didn't listen. He went out to sea. He was thrown overboard. And the second perek is as he does his tshuva in the Me'ei HaDagah, in the innards of the fish. Now that it's almost like a restart, and now he gets it, and the Tanakh emphasizes that it is Vayhi Devar Hashem El Yonah Shenis Lemor. It was the second time that he was told to go. And here's what he's told. He's told to go to Nineveh, which is the Ir HaGdolah, this large city, and tell them the Kriya, which I'm going to tell you. What does he do? This time he listens, he gets up, he goes to Nineveh, and in fact, the Pasuk testifies to us in Pasuk Gimel, V'ninveh ha'sa ir gedolah le'lokim. It was a very large city to Hashem, Mahalach Shleshes Yomim, 3 days walk. We'll see what that means in just a moment. And Yonah goes into the city and he says the famous prophecy, Vayikra vayomar, he gets up and he says, Od arba'im yom v'ninveh ne'npeches. In another 40 days, and Ninveh will be turned over. And immediately, without hesitation, without referendum, without politicizing, everybody, Vayaminu Anshei Nineveh Belokim, they believed him, they called upon themselves a fast day, they put upon themselves sackcloth, and from the largest to their oldest, even the king hears about it, he takes his crown off, he covers himself with sackcloth, he sits on ashes, and he makes a decree, a national decree, that anybody from man to animal, to the flocks, cannot eat, they can't drink. This is going, they're going to wear sackcloth, even the animals, it sounds like, and they call out to Hashem, and everybody does a tshuva from what they did. They change their ways really genuinely. And at this point in time, Vayar Elokim es ma'aseim, Hashem sees their actions, kishavu midarkom hara'ah, that they return from their evil ways. Vayinochem ho Elokim al hara'ah asher dibay la'asoyes lahem v'layasa. And Hashem now turns away or moves in a different direction to the anger that he was going to do to them and does not do. This is the end of the prophecy. Now let's try to get into the details of it. So, first of all, a few questions to ask to consider when looking at this. What does it mean to say that it was a big city to Hashem? It was an Ir Gedolah Le'elokim. What Ibn Ezra suggests to this is that, yes, they were holy people. These were good people. These are people that HaKadosh Baruch wanted to look after. Whereas other Mepharshim say, no, it just means to say that it's not that it's necessarily a qualitative description, but it's quantitative in the sense that there were a lot of people. Hashem has Ashkocha Klalis. Hashem cares about the world running as a whole. He may not always, not everybody is necessarily included in Hashkocha Pratit, with a much broader discussion. But nonetheless, you know, this is a very large quantity of people. This makes up a very important piece of the Hashkocha Klalit, the way Hashem runs the world in terms of the large numbers. How big is it, in fact? So if you look in the Pasuk, that might actually give us a clue just to how big it is. When it says Mahalach Shloshes Yamim, when it's a walk of 3 days, it may not mean that it's three days walk from where Yonah is now. It may mean that from one side of the city to the other side of the city would take 3 days to walk to. That's how big it is. So we're talking about a real metropolis, certainly in those days. Now the most fascinating and troubling aspect of this parak is his actual prophecy. He says a very succinct prophecy, which is the famous words, Od arba'im yom, in 40 days, v'ninveh nehepeches, Nineveh will be turned over. So the truth is that it sounds like a Kodesh Baruch Hu turns around, Vayinochem, Hashem turns around from that decision. So was the prophecy false then? So was it not true? This is what the Mepharshim all try to deal with. So the Malbim points out, well, the underlying assumption that of a prophet going to the people to tell them about a bad decree is the fact that they can do teshuva. Yes, was this to happen? Was this supposed to happen? Absolutely. Did it happen? No. Why? Because of tshuva. That doesn't mean to say that this was a false prophecy. That was supposed to happen. Their change actually changed the plans. So therefore, this is the way the Malbim looks at it. This is the basic underlying assumption. Which means to say, and this gets into a very fascinating debate, is whether a prophecy can be revoked or not. And the Malbim generally understands that a bad prophecy, certainly, and sometimes even good prophecies, can be lost, can be revoked, unless the prophecy was given with a specific action. If there was an action item which governed that particular prophecy, then it could be irretractable. We'll see this numerous times across Tanakh, where a prophet will use an item to sort of to create or to crystallize, to make tangible that prophecy in an irrevocable way. This did not happen here. I had a teacher of Avram Rivlin, who was the Mashgiach of Keren B'Yavneh, who actually has an entire sefer just on the book of Yonah, as many people do. It's a really fascinating sefer, and he points out he has a concept which is, you know, well known in the Mefarshim, but what he calls Nevuah Nezila, which literally means liquid prophecy, so to speak, in the sense that this actually was not a prophecy which was revoked. Rashi talks about this, and Abravanel talk about this in this particular instance, where Ne'epeches, being turned over, can mean be turned over spiritually in spiritual reform in change, or could be they were destroyed, like that Vayafoy Hashem as Sodom, that Hashem turned over the city of Sodom. So it actually had two meanings. They were supposed to get the understanding of destruction. That was what they were supposed to think about. But ultimately, when they did teshuva, that prophecy still had fruition. It still it was moldable. It was liquid in the sense that it could go into how you decide to form it. That potential still existed and did come to fruition. That's the way that Rav Rivlin looks at it, which is a really powerful way of looking at it. And it's longitudinally across Tanakh is a very true concept. Now, Barbanel and the Malbim also point out that if, based on the Ma'ari Kro, that there is an extra dimension to this prophecy as well, and that is that the word Od actually is numerically 80. Ayin is 70, and Vav and Dalet is 6 and 4 together, which gives you 80. And Arboim is 40, so 80 and 40 is 120. Yamim in Tanakh can also not mean just days, but also years. In 120 years from this date is when the Assyrian Empire will fall to the Babylonian Empire, which means to say embedded in. Even the fact that they are able to do teshuva, there is the destruction code for Assyria, and that is to happen. So there's many, many different channels which are going on all at once in one small and seemingly simple prophecy. Why is it that they believed him so readily? Meaning, it sounds like he's only one day walk through the city, which means to say one third of the city, and already they're all believing him. Like, what happened? So Ibn Ezra throws in an extra detail here, and Ibn Ezra suggests that the sailors with whom Yonah had embarked on that journey, had returned home, and in fact, the Shmua, the understanding had reached home that this is a very powerful man, God is on his side, and they therefore were listening to him. Now, Barbara Nell says, we don't need to add that in over here. These are just good people. These people understood, logically speaking, that this was a dangerous thing to be on God's bad side. They knew that these were not new commandments that he was commanding. He was just saying, you haven't been living up to the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. You haven't been living up to basic scruples in society. And they were really credited with a good decision over here. One of the fascinating things about this is another question is why were the animals included? Why was it the animals needed to fast? Why was the animals were part of this whole process? So the Mitzvah says, because the animals ultimately, if your livestock, which is worth a lot of money, is also suffering, then it's going to affect you as the owner of that livestock. So therefore, the reflection is really upon the owners. Whereas that Barbanel says, no, actually, the animals themselves also would have been destroyed over here, and they were needed by Kodesh Baruch Hu's good grace. The animals in their own nature as well were, in a certain sense, returning from perhaps wayward pathways or the way that they were acting. Very fascinating discussion in general is animals' free will and animals' culpability. Last point just to think about over here is that the very last pasuk, which is this very powerful pasuk of Avaynochem Hashem, which Hashem turning around and giving them a favorable decision, which is, seems to be a parallel pasuk in Parshas Kisiso when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides not to destroy Bnei Yisrael. What is it that actually triggered this? What was it that made this decision viable? The Mishnah in Tanis describes that when they would do public fast days for terrible calamities which are befalling communities, what they would do is bring the teva, which is the ark, or they bring the table where they read the Torah into the middle of the street of the city, and they would put ashes on it, and the nasi, that's the head of the congregation, the Rosh Av Beis Din, would get there, and everybody would speak in the Zaken Shabbahim. The oldest of them would announce and say Divrei Kivushin, and give his Oros, he'd give a wake up call, and he would say Achenu. Here, this is the words that they would use. Our brothers, Lo Ne'emar ba'anshe Ninveh v'yara Elokim esakom es hanisam. It doesn't say that Hashem saw by Ninveh their sackcloth and their fasting. Ela vayar Elokim es maaseihem. Hashem saw their actions, kishov midarkom hara'ah, because they changed their actual course of action. That's how they would speak to the public at a public tannis. So yes, to the very credit of these people, much like the sailors who also suddenly made a big change over here, these people made a change as well. And the Abaminal limits it and says it doesn't mean to say that they necessarily had to reform spiritually or religiously. It doesn't mean to say that they now, you know, rejected their polytheistic gods. It means to say that society was no longer corrupt, and ultimately that itself is a protection mechanism against the wrath which was coming their direction. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.